Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly DFS Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm a PFW Fantasy Football contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, PFW Fantasy Football contributor and Northwest Herald sports editor, Kyle Neighbors. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how did last week go for you over on FanDuel?
You know, it's bittersweet because I put together the best week of the season I've had so far, maybe the best Sunday of football I've ever had when it comes to wide receivers, and I just completely whiffed on the running backs. You know, I do even decent at running back, and I'm probably calling in sick this week. But, you know, it's kind of how it goes. How about you? How'd it go over on DraftKings?
I had one of my best weeks ever, actually. Like you, I had a fantastic time at wide receiver, and hopefully the people listening to our podcast had a great wide receiver selection day as well. Like you, running back was a bit of a mess. Le'Veon Bell, that was maybe the most tilting thing about last weekend, is you've got Le'Veon Bell, who, you know, on DraftKings, he didn't completely tank teams because he still got 10 receptions, but you're facing the least efficient rush defense in the league, and you throw the ball 40-plus times, Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I mean, what is that?
I have sometimes I just think NFL coaches are dumb. Like, there's just no other way to say it. They're just dumb. You know, it wasn't just there. I had a lot of Todd Gurley, and at one point in the second half last week, they're in, the Rams are inside the 15-yard line on first down, inside Seattle 15-yard line. That is on first down, and they line up five wide. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. Like, Tavon Austin keeps touching the ball, and I'm like, what is happening here?
Hate when that ruins what really was a good weekend. But let's move on to this weekend. We're a forward-thinking fantasy football podcast here. So let's move on to this weekend. And I think the hot topic this week is whether or not to pay up at running back. Because, you know, at least you saw on DraftKings this week, the guy who won $1 million. In the Millionaire Maker contest, paid down at running back and just went up to all the high-priced wide receivers. You know, A.J. Green went off, Antonio Brown had a good day, you know, guys like that just had fantastic days. And all of a sudden, everyone kind of realizes there's some mid-priced running backs that are going to get volume. And that was the strategy like 2 years ago. And then last year, everyone was paying up for Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. So obviously with David Johnson out and Le'Veon Bell, you know, his usage is just maddening. Kyle, what are you doing at running back this week? Are you going to pay up or are you going to kind of go with the field and pay down for guys that are going to get, you know, maybe 20 touches combined in rushing and receiving?
So here's the problem for me. I don't like to go down to under 6,000 on FanDuel and their pricing and running back a lot of times, unless there's someone that is guaranteed a heavy workload. There's too much volatility there. I tend to like what I ended up doing last week, and it didn't work out, but I tend to go for the mid-tier guys if I can get them. Like Gurley was down to, I want to say, 7,600 last week. I got Bilal Powell at like 66 or 6,800, and that was able to get me up to some of the top wide receivers. I'm planning on paying up this week at running back because I think a large portion of the field is going to do what you think, what you were saying there. I think there's going to be a lot of traffic on the Saints running backs, on Jerick McKinnon. And I'm going to let the field chase points, and I'm going to go up to some of the higher price guys that I think are in prime positions to go ahead and just go off this week. What are you leaning toward?
You know, right now I'm leaning towards splitting and paying up for one, but then looking at some of these guys in the mid to lower tier, maybe starting with, gosh, even Mike Gillisley at 5,500 on DraftKings.
Don't do
Buck
that.
Allen.
No. No,
but there, I mean, and then you got the Saints running backs plus Jerick McKinnon. You know, we saw McKinnon on Monday night. He's the lead dog in that backfield, and you know he's going to get the passing game work for Minnesota. And you know, with the trade of Adrian Peterson, that raises the floor for both Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. Kamara is actually $100 more expensive than Ingram. On DraftKings, and I like Ingram a little bit more because I think he gets more touches. And the narrative at the New Orleans backfield is that you know, Sean Payton hates Mark Ingram, but if you look at Ingram's touch totals, they've gone up every week. So I think I may end up splitting and go with you know, one low price guy or mid price guy that I like, and then paying up for a big name guy, maybe starting with Devonta Freeman at home against the Dolphins. But man, you can certainly make a case for Bell or Kareem Hunt or Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley this week. I think those are all great. Fournette as well. I think all those guys are great options at running back.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really interested to see how the field breaks down when it comes to the Saints running back. The narrative I'm hearing is there's a lot of Alvin Kamara love, and I understand that. But I'm not ready to just go ahead and jump into that. I actually, if I had to choose between the two, and I'm probably just going to avoid the situation because I think there's a higher bust factor in that game than people realize. But I would probably have to go to the other side on that. And I think Kamara is going to be just mega owned, and I don't want to get involved there. If I'm going anywhere, it's going to be Mark Ingram.
Yeah, I think you're on the same page. I think Ingram is certainly the tournament play there. I think both of them are actually pretty safe for cash considering how low their price is. But I think Ingram has the higher floor, and it, you know, if the Saints the way this game is shaping out with the Vegas line, it's really zoomed to the Saints. And so if the Saints can put this thing away, I think Ingram's a guy that can really. That ceiling gets even higher for me, at least.
Well, we're going to get into my hot take of the week really quickly here, because I would go ahead and bet the under on this game. We saw this exact scenario last year.
We did.
Yeah. And you know, Breeze, I think, threw three interceptions at home.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it ended up 28-13. Stafford had a decent game. Golden Tate went off. But Stafford's not healthy. Detroit's really slowing the game down, and I think the Saints defense with the makeover that they had in this offseason, they got off to a rough start, but they're getting a little bit better. I think this is going to be a slower paced game than people realize.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Lions do want to play keep away, and if they've got, I mean, Stafford's certainly hurt, and so you're probably going to want to slow the game down as much as possible if you're Detroit. So I get that. I don't think I'm really on anybody on the Detroit side. I think Tate's a decent play, but I don't think he's going to find a way onto any of my rosters at this point.
Yeah, I don't either. And go ahead and keep Amir Abdullah while you're at it.
I'm not playing that. It's just it's 60 yards and nothing else. They keep pulling him in goal line situations. There's not a point in playing Amir Abdullah.
Yeah, when Zach Zenner starts taking goal line carries from me, you can go ahead and just cut Amir. I shouldn't say cut Amir Abdullah, but make sure if you're in season long leagues too, just get him on the bench. And if you're playing DFS, don't even think about it. Please don't. Yeah. You're just, I mean, actually, please do. I will gladly take your money if you keep playing Amir Abdullah.
All right. So the other topic I want to talk about is at quarterback this week. Deshaun Watson has put up, you know, back-to-back 30 plus point games. And is now at home against Cleveland in what looks like another smash matchup. His price has certainly come up across the industry. So with that, I feel like this is still a good play to fire up Watson, especially at least on DraftKings. He's still cheaper than Breeze or Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins or a guy like that, or certainly Brady and Rodgers. Where are you on Watson this week in GPPs?
Yes, please. As much as I can get. And I feel a little bit biased here because I was kicking myself a lot 2 weeks ago because I talked myself off him against Tennessee. And last week I was all over it. It turned out well again. And I just think this game is going to be closer than people think. Cleveland. There's a couple things that are going in Deshaun Watson's favor here. I think Cleveland is a better offense with Kevin Hogan at quarterback. And I think they're going to be throwing the ball a lot in this game and being able to score a little bit, because I don't think Houston's defense is very good to begin with. And now they're without their two top pass rushers, and Cleveland's run defense is really underrated. So I think Deshaun Watson is going to be dropping back a lot, and he's just got such a solid floor with his running ability. I'm going to be all over Deshaun Watson, particularly because we talk about him being overowned, maybe. I actually think he still might be a little bit underowned because of the narrative of what's happening in New Orleans. I think there's still too many people that want to play Tom Brady, even though he's injured. Fire him up.
Okay. Just an interesting sort of Vegas note on this game. This game opened with a 44 over under and Houston favored by 9. Most places now it's up to 47 with Houston favored by at least 10 and in some places 11.
Yeah,
I think that that tells you the sharp money is coming in on Houston and the over, which to me, that says fire up Watson.
Well, and a 3-point jump in the over-under, that is a large amount. I mean, that's a huge amount.
You don't actually see that every week. Right. Yeah.
So they're Vegas is screaming something at us.
Yeah, certainly a bunch of sharp bettors have come in and said, you know what, that was too low. Houston's going to score more points. So I think that... You know, Lamar Miller's not a bad play out of that game either.
I guess. If they get up big, you could see his usage go up, but I'm just not a big Lamar Miller fan.
All right, I understand. All right, well, let's get on to some of our favorite plays position by position here. Kyle, we've obviously mentioned Deshaun Watson at quarterback here. Is there anybody else that you're liking at QB on FanDuel?
Like I said, I'm going to be really heavy on Watson. Some other guys, you know, I think Kirk Cousins is in a smash spot coming off a bye at home against San Francisco, who's coming across country again this week. I think that game, I think he has the potential for a huge week. If you want to go at, he's $100 cheaper, than Deshaun Watson, and you're going to get him at probably a considerably lower ownership. And then the other guy that I think is interesting is Phillip Rivers. I don't think this Oakland team is healthy. Even if Carr does play, I think that the Chargers are primed to go off this week.
We are on the exact same page this week at quarterback. I'm not paying down. Watson is a guy, you know, we talked about. Rivers, I think, is real sneaky this week. Cousins is a guy that will, like you said, is in a smash spot. I'm going to have exposure to Breeze at home coming off a bye. And, you know, I'll have some interest in Matt Ryan too at home against a Miami team that can be beat deep. But yeah, there's really nobody else I'm that interested in this week, and I'm not paying down. There's no cheap quarterback I like this week.
Here is one thing that I'm going to pay a lot of attention to up until kickoff on Sunday. And that is Tom Brady, because I think there's a reasonable chance he doesn't play.
Really?
Yes. You hear the rumblings about the shoulder injury, the fact that he was having an MRI and that came out when they said he wasn't at first. You know, you're just missing practice. You saw this last week with Gronk, where they insisted the entire way up that he was going to play, he was going to play, he was going to play, and then boom, you get there up until game time. Oh, yeah, Gronk's not going to play this week. I'm not saying it's likely, but I think there is a reasonable chance to believe that Tom Brady could not play this week.
So fire up Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes. I think if Brady is out, that you should go ahead and just start locking in Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right. Well, let's move on to, man, I think Brady's going to be out there, but yeah, if he's not, Garoppolo's interesting. All right, let's move on to running back. We've mentioned a couple of guys, but Kyle, who do you like at running back this week?
Oh, man. See, this is where I'm actually having trouble. Like, I want to pay up, but it's just which ones do I want to choose? So I think my top option here is a guy that is going to go under own because everyone's looking at the shiny new toys, the cheap guys, Leonard Fournette's touchdowns. But I think Kareem Hunt is the top play on the board, regardless of position this week. He's at home against a Pittsburgh defense that is absolutely getting wrecked on the ground. And, you know, people are also going to worry. I think they're a little bit nervous when they see Sharkhandrick West get 2 touchdowns near the goal line last week. That's just not going to continue. I think Hunt is a huge, huge upside play this week. Outside of that, I don't think Sean McVay is dumb enough to do this with Todd Gurley again. He's in a good bounce back spot.
I hope not.
Right. Like, you have to assume that he's like, oh, yeah. We're best when we're giving the ball to our best player 25 or 30 times a game, right? It has to happen. And then let's see what else. How do you feel about Melvin Gordon? This is the one that when I was alluding to, I kicking myself over not playing Melvin Gordon last week when I called the squeaky wheel on Friday. You willing to put him back in?
Yeah, I think he's in a good spot. I don't think Oakland's that strong against the run. Gordon's volume is secure, and I see no reason to shy away from him this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And then CJ Anderson. The Giants are bleeding points. The Giants are
toast as a team right now.
Yeah, I mean it's getting bad really really quickly. CJ Anderson is going to get a lot of touches. He has all season outside of one really odd game, and I just think there's way too much upside at his price point on FanDuel not to play him.
The game script is perfectly in his favor. Denver's favored by 11 now. There's one spot that I see that he says Denver's as high as 13. As a 13-point favorite. I mean, everything sets up perfectly for CJ Anderson.
I was looking earlier. The Giants have a 13-point implied total, team total. Like, I don't know. Yikes. I don't know if I've ever seen a team total that low.
That's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
That's a team that's just toast. All right. I'm with you on a lot of those guys. Kareem Hunt. Yeah, I'm going to, when I've talked about splitting, Kareem Hunt's going to be the top guy that I go to. Okay. He's going to be the expensive running back that I head to. If not him, it's going to be Devonta Freeman at home, big favorite. That's traditionally where Freeman smashes. I believe he's got 18 touchdowns and like 14 of them are when he's a home favorite. I mean, he gets into the end zone in these situations. It's almost a guarantee. And then there's so many mid-price guys that I would like to play. Buck Allen is a guy that I think you need to consider against the Bears. Hey, Mitchell Trubisky was exciting, but I think Buck Allen is due for a big game, especially with Terrence West still missing practice. So I think Allen's volume starts to become pretty secure in that offense. In a GPP, I wouldn't mind Tevin Coleman, even though Freeman is the lead guy. Coleman is a very efficient back. With Rob Kelly out, I think Samaje Perine becomes interesting against San Francisco.
No, he doesn't. Don't do that to yourself. No.
He's interesting.
No, he's not. He's bad. That's what he is. He's bad, and he can't hold on to the football.
Elijah McGuire, a guy that could end up getting a ton of volume against New England, and he can certainly catch the ball out of the backfield. New England has struggled against running backs that can catch the ball. So I think there's a bunch of guys down here that I like. McKinnon I've mentioned. Ingram and Kamara we've gone over. So I think you can go a lot of different ways, which makes it tough this week at running back.
Yeah, it's just there are a lot of cheap running backs that have the potential to exceed value by quite a bit. It's just you're going to have to go through the minefield of figuring out which one you're comfortable with. You brought up several of them there. I think Duke Johnson's another guy that continues to get a lot of usage there, and Cleveland's going to be behind, so he's going to see targets again this week. Particularly, it looks like Kenny Burt had a setback today, so he's not going to be on the field again. Outside of that,
I'll throw out one more because he's so cheap on DraftKings, and his volume is clearly there right now. That's DeMarco Murray against Indianapolis.
Oh, the Monday night game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, your Monday night hammer type spot. DeMarco Murray is only 5,200. He is cheaper than Andre Ellington. He's cheaper than Gillislee, Buck Allen, Aaron Jones, Jay Ajayi. I mean,
There was a report today from Titans practice that Mularkey said that they want to get Derrick Henry more involved.
I don't. I've heard that before from them though.
Yeah, I know.
They don't get him involved. I don't mind taking a chance on Murray in one or two lineups.
Well, here's a question, Mr. Arizona boy. You're not going to take a shot at Adrian Peterson?
No. Do not play Adrian Peterson.
Yep. Actually, please do play Adrian Peterson. Go ahead.
All right, let's move on to wide receiver. Kyle, who are some of the guys you've really got an eye on? I think it's got to be DeAndre Hopkins, right?
Well, yes, DeAndre Hopkins. And I continue to have a man crush on Will Fuller. I think he's a great GPP guy, a guy that, I mean, the Cleveland secondary has given up chunk plays. Will Fuller is the guy that is going to take the top off defenses. Fire him up if you're looking for a guy kind of in the 6,000 range on FanDuel. There's a really good case to be made for Antonio Brown. I don't know if I'm going to go there. And I think this is the smash spot for Julio Jones. You like Devontae Freeman. I love Julio Jones in this spot. Mohamed Sanu is not going to play. The Miami secondary, I think, is ranked 29th or 30th. This is a spot where I think Julio Jones has one of those days where it's like 10, 180 and a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm scared to be underweight on Julio Jones this week because you know he hasn't erupted yet and you know it's coming. He's just too talented and there's too much volume heading his way, and now he's at home and, like you said, against a really, really terrible pass defense. So I'm terrified to be underweight on Julio Jones this week. I'm going to make sure that I have more exposure to Julio than the field.
Yeah, and how do you feel about Chris Hogan? This has to stop at some point, right? Please tell me it's going to stop. Oh, come on. No, it has to.
It doesn't. He is the clear red zone guy, especially. I mean, if Gronk ever leaves a game because of injury, Hogan is the clear number one red zone option in New England's offense. You know, I know that the Brandon Cooks explosion game is coming, but Cooks' game is not in the red zone. And Hogan just keeps finding ways to get open. And Brady clearly loves throwing to him. You look at his target totals, they've gone up each of the last 3 weeks. 6 targets, 9 targets, 11 targets. He's hit the – I mean, you can't count on a touchdown every week, but the volume is there. I don't see why not again this week for Hogan. It's against the Jets defense.
Yeah, I know. I have sworn off playing Brandon Cooks, so you know, when he was with the Saints, I felt like you could kind of see the big games coming from him. Like you could figure out the flow. I just don't see that with the Patriots offense. There's too many weapons. So if he has the big game, go right ahead. I'm just not going to continue to cross my fingers that he's the guy that goes off in any given week. You know, I said how much I like the Chargers. Keenan Allen, I think, is another guy,
yep,
much like Julio Jones, could have a huge week. And, you know, I don't know if I can do it. How do you feel about Amari Cooper?
There's going to be a point where he has an incredible bounce back game. It's not this week because I think Casey Hayward shadows him. I want to see his price. He's at 5,000.
Yeah, he's down to 6,400. Like the FanDuel is just like, please play him.
I think it's one more week and then he's back. I don't love, you know, Derek Carr just coming off injury either. So I want to wait one more week for Amari Cooper and then I think I might be all over him. If his price, especially his price, is going to go down to like 4,800, I think, next week.
Yeah. Who else here? Terrell Pryor. Here's the problem. I really like Kirk Cousins, but I'm really leery of who to pair him with, which is something I almost saw. I very rarely run a quarterback out there naked. I love pairing them with their top receiving option. But
we don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I think people might be quick to jump back on Pryor because he was a preseason darling and had the long touchdown in their last game. But I'm not he's yet to have more than 5 targets since week one, so I'm not sure I can go there. But I think he had GPP appeal. And on the other side, I do kind of like Pierre Garçon. He's getting a ton of targets. I think I was reading the other day that he leads the league in targets without a touchdown. And the Washington's going to be without Josh Norman, and I expect San Francisco to be trailing. So this could be one of those games where Pierre Garçon gets a lot of garbage time.
Yeah, I don't hate the Garçon call at all. I think with Washington, I think it's probably Pryor, only because San Francisco struggles with boundary receivers more than they do slot and tight ends. They're actually one of the best defenses against tight ends. So I know people might get excited about Cook at tight end, or not Cook, Jordan Reed at tight end, because his price is so low this week. But I think if I'm going anywhere, it's Pryor. But I'd rather just roll out Cousins naked and just let him, you know, pepper it everywhere.
Let me pose this question to you. Are there any absolute dart throw wide receivers that you feel comfortable with or that you're willing to take a shot on? Because the way I've kind of been constructing my lineups, they're like, if I want to get up to Hunt and Julio Jones, I might have to pay way down at one of the wide receiver spots. And I'm having trouble identifying someone that I feel like can really break out.
I got two for you.
Okay.
One is Adam Humphries, Tampa Bay.
Okay.
You look at the matchup here. You know, James Winston is still gonna throw some to Mike Evans, but he's got Patrick Peterson on him. DeSean Jackson is a favorite play of mine most weeks.
Yeah, he is.
He's a favorite play again this week, and really he's gonna see Justin Bethel, and Bethel is a guy that we can target with glee in DFS. He's been roasted pretty much every week. So DeSean Jackson is one of my favorite plays this week. But Adam Humphries in the slot, Arizona has not done well against slot receivers. Humphries, if fewer targets are going towards Mike Evans, they got to go somewhere. Humphries is kind of established himself as the number three wide receiver. Targets the last couple weeks, 10 targets, 7 targets, 5 targets. He's turned him into 68, 70, 51 yards. Hasn't gotten into the end zone yet, but I think that's a low-priced guy that has decent enough volume and should get maybe a little bit more volume this time around. The other guy is Juju Smith-Schuster, guy who has passed up Martavis Bryant in snaps and targets. His targets the last couple weeks, 6, 4, and 6. He's turned it into 39, 47, and 58 yards. He's gotten into the end zone once. I think Smith-Schuster's a guy that you can fire up with some confidence as far as a low-priced guy. I think those are two guys that I'm willing to take a chance on. And maybe one more if we're real high on Houston. You know, Ricardo Lewis apparently looks like one of the top guys in Cleveland's offense. I use top guys in air quotes. But not. He's got 17 targets the past two.
Yeah,
two weeks.
I've been finding myself clicking on his name here a little bit, trying to decide if I can do it or not. He's minimum priced on FanDuel. The other one, you hit on one of the two I was thinking of in Ricardo Lewis. The other I was thinking of, let me go back and find him here. Oh yeah, I'm talking about San Francisco trailing. How do you feel about Marquise Goodwin?
Man, Marquise Goodwin frustrated the heck out of me last week. I was counting on him being out with a concussion and firing up Aldrick Robinson, who is almost minimum price. Goodwin goes, not only travels with the team, but plays and has a spectacular day. So if he's out there and healthy, you know, we certainly saw the talent last week with 11 targets and 116 yards. I don't hate it.
Well, so here's my thing. We've seen the Houston defense get burnt by speedsters. I mean, Brandon Cooks absolutely torched them. Mm-hmm. And that's happened a couple times now this year. I kind of like that play. That's the way I'm leaning right now if I need a cheap wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all.
No, I'm sorry. When I said the Houston defense, I'm thinking of someone else there. He's playing the Washington defense. Sorry.
Well,
but still, I once again, another defense I think is beatable deep.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to tight end. Let's close it out with tight end. Who are some of the top guys you're looking at tight end this week?
I've got it down to three, and I'll give my reasoning for all of them. The first is Cameron Brate. I believe no one has more touchdown catches than Cameron Brate since the start of last year. The Arizona defense is hurting. They can be beat over the middle, and I think that with Mike Evans being taken away, yeah, you can like DeSean Jackson, but I like Cameron Brate for another solid
game. I like Brate too.
Yeah. Yeah. Austin Seferian Jenkins, the Patriots have given up at least 60 yards or a touchdown to every tight end they've faced since week one. And I think that continues. Austin Seferian Jenkins is going to get a lot of run. Josh McCown likes throwing to his tight ends. We've seen it for multiple years now. I think that's a smash play. And the third one is Hunter Henry. Once again, like the Chargers offense. And finally, after weeks of frustration, the Chargers were like, oh yeah, Antonio Gates is 70 years old and we have an electric field stretcher over the middle with Hunter Henry. Maybe we should get him the ball. And I think the best thing I can say about that is in two games against Oakland last year, Hunter Henry had a touchdown in each. So,
yeah, I like all those calls. Do you like Ryan Griffin? I think he's minimum priced on FanDuel at tight end.
I liked Ryan Griffin earlier in the season before Will Fuller got back. I don't know if he's going to get enough of a target share. I think that's a reasonable dart throw, I guess, if you really want to punt the position. I mean, the Cleveland defense, obviously, against tight ends, has given it up to anyone. So go ahead. I probably won't go there, but I understand it. How about George Kittle? Are you, because he's going to get way more ownership than he probably warrants this week. Are you going there?
He just showed up on the injury report with a chest injury. So I don't hate him, but I'm going to monitor that. The guy I like who's just $100 more expensive than him on DraftKings is Austin Hooper. Miami has struggled mightily against guys up the middle, and Hooper is a guy, especially with Sanu out, if Sanu is out, he's a guy that could get a lot of run, I feel like.
Yeah, Hooper, I think, is a solid guy that going to fly under the radar.
Let me ask you about one guy on Monday night, Evan Engram. Giants tight end. Giants have lost, I don't know, 400 receivers in the last week. Eli Manning is going to have to throw to somebody. Yeah. And I know Engram's coming off a zero catch game. I feel like nobody's going to be on him, but
no,
I don't hate that play.
You know what? Everyone went out of that game last week too, and Evan Engram still couldn't get a reception. I think they ended up throwing. Didn't he end up? Who was it? Someone got Red Ellison. I think got a touchdown in that game. Mm-hmm. So,
it's a fair point. Was,
yeah.
I just,
No. Thanks. Not going there. I mean, if you wanted to go with a cheap tight end in that game, I think AJ Derby is a guy that you could go with. The Giants are another team that's been killed by tight ends, and AJ Derby is coming off of 475 and a touchdown. I think that's an okay place play at 4600 on FanDuel.
If you want, and if you're going to have to find a place to pay down to get up to one of these high-priced wide receivers and running backs, AJ Derby is a great place to start, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, that'll do it for this week's Pro Football Weekly DFS Fantasy Football Podcast. Good luck in your matchups.